Last week, if you were here, you know that we kicked off a series called I Love My Church. And again, the premise of that is we think everybody, whether you attend here or you're just visiting and attend somewhere else, we feel like everybody should be able to say, I love my church. That's not always the case. But over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about, last week and the next 3 weeks, going to be talking about four different things that we do when we get together, why we do them. So last week we talked about baptism. Today we're going to be talking about worship, about song. But before I get into that, I do want to share with you what happened last week. After second service, six different people made the decision to be baptized. So, yes. Erica Thompson up on the top left, Tyler Hawkins in the top middle, Noah Butzing in the top right, Ethan Thibault, bottom left, Anne Marie Klein, baptized by her husband Jeremiah, in fact, and then Dominic Kitts down here on the right. What was exciting to me was actually two different details. One, I had people ask, well, how many of those did you know about? Not a single one. They were all spontaneous, which is extremely encouraging for me. I know that God is doing some amazing things here. Second of all, they all came from different backgrounds. I don't think any single story was exactly the same, but each of their scenarios was different. But during the course of the message, in fact, I will say, I don't think any of the six of them woke up last Sunday planning on making that decision last week. But before they left here, that's what they did, and it's exciting. I'm aware, obviously you saw my daughter just now, but I'm aware of three other people that are going to be making that decision very, very soon. I think it's really fitting that we're in this series. I love my church. I get excited when I see God moving in people and them making this decision or other decisions in life to get things right between them and God or in a relationship that they have here on this earth. I love my church, and I love seeing what God is doing here. I hope that this and decisions made never gets old. We're in week two today. We're going to be talking about worship, specifically music and singing. And I think it's appropriate to just say something. We all are wired differently, are we not? I mean, some of you may have woken up this morning and gotten ready and gotten in your car and made your way here, and you're here early and you're ready to go, and there's a countdown clock and you're watching that, and when it hits zero, you're ready to go. You're ready to sing. You're ready to belt out what God has given you. You're excited to be here. There are others of you, perhaps, that maybe the thought of singing, and specifically singing where other people can hear you, or singing in public, or singing in any form or fashion, is one of the most terrifying things that you can imagine. What I want you to know is singing together as a church is an important part of who you are personally, as well as who we are as a church. Now, before we get into this, I feel like I need to share a little bit about my musical background, which is very, very limited. However, my mother tried her best when I was a youngster to teach me piano. And so I probably tried to learn that for a year, maybe a little bit longer. And then it was like, no more, Mom. I'm not going to play the piano. Not my thing. Now, for those of you young people in the room, not a day goes by of my adult life that I don't regret that decision. So, Mom, if you hear this later, there you go. I do. I regret not sticking with that. But, you know, in grade school, I sang in the school choirs and sang in the church programs and part of the, you know, the Easter and the Christmas programs and those sorts of things. I started playing the drums. I say drums, plural, but it was drum, the snare drum in middle school and with the orchestra and that sort of thing, and then moved to the marching snare up in high school. I tried to figure that thing out, but I just could not get the hand-foot-mind coordination all down. So, Chris, others of you in the room, Erling, others of you in the room, Aaron, I should stop. Austin, too, I think, right? Yeah. You drummer guys, I just can't get the hand-foot thing down. But either way, I love music. I do. How many of you know the name Carmen? Yeah, that dates all of us. Petra? Rock band. There we go. A few more hands. All right. Listen to Carmen and Petra and DC Talk, and please don't hold any of that against me. But I grew up in the church and grew up listening to music and love music, just probably not my gifting. And so there's a reason that you rarely hear me sing and rarely see me in any type of musical environment. I know what I do well and I know what I don't do well. But here's the thing. Every week when we get together as a church, about a third of our time is spent singing together. About a third of our gathering time is spent singing. So why do we do that? I mean, I recognize a very low percentage of us, and I hope I don't offend anyone here, but a very low percentage of us would probably consider yourselves semi-professional singers, right? A very low percentage. Now, very few of you would be thrilled about auditioning for a show on TV like The Voice or one of these other reality shows, The American Idol, when it was still on. I know we've got some good singers in the room. I've sat near you. I've heard you sing. I know we have some very, very good singers in the room, but the majority of us, this may feel a little bit foreign. We come and maybe we enjoy it and we enjoy listening to it, but maybe it's a little foreign to us, and yet here we are week after week singing songs together. And then we have, you know, Chris and Joey and Chris and whoever else may be kind of leading things, and they're occasionally encouraging you to maybe, you know, sing it out just a little bit, or maybe raise your hands or clap your hands or let's lift up the name of the Lord together. Maybe a little bit more subtle. Hey, we'd like to invite you this next song to join with us. However it is, they're encouraging you to sing along. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, yeah, those of you who sing on stage, it's not a big deal. I mean, you guys have great voices, and you guys can do all of that. Why would I try and compete with that? I don't care how many times you ask me to sing, I'm not going to do it. In fact, for some of us, maybe the main stage is in the shower, right? Anyone want to be honest? Do you sing in the shower or maybe driving the car down the road? I only sing in the shower when the house is empty. But maybe driving the car down the road. I'm not going to go there. Why not? Some of you have probably belted out, let it go, let it go. I can't hold it back. In the shower. Any of you parents that have young children at home have heard your fair share of Disney songs and would rather get those songs out of your mind, but we'll get to that later. Outside of singing in private, most of us would not consider ourselves great singers, people that enjoy singing in public, that sort of thing. So why then do you keep asking us, why then do you keep asking me to sing out in church together? Can't we just come and listen? Can't we just enjoy and maybe meditate? And I mean, kind of like a concert. I mean, we go to concerts. What's the big deal? Why can't we come to church and just listen to it as a concert? Friends, we will never do that. We are always going to encourage you to sing. We're always going to encourage you to get involved in singing. There's something so much greater, so much more powerful when we sing together. Something so much more significant than just a concert spectator. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself. Experience could ever give us. So I want to talk about this thing today, about how singing is mentioned time and time again in Scripture. And it's a key part of our expression of worship to God. So for today's purposes, we're going to look at three things in just a moment. But first of all, we are all natural worshipers. We are all natural worshipers. I hope you realize that about yourself. You were created to worship. You were created to worship something. Someone, in fact. Psalm chapter 150, verse 6, the very last psalm in the Bible says this, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." So when we talk about this topic, about everything that has breath praise the Lord, that we're all natural worshipers, first of all, we need to adopt a good theological position on this, because most of the time, when you hear worship, you assume music. When we talk about worship, you probably think music. So we may say we have a worship leader, and all of a sudden everyone thinks music. So I get some pushback from time to time, hey, you know, music leader, that sort of thing. Music is a powerful tool to use. It helps us lift up our worship to God. But worship happens our entire life. It's not just when we come here and sing. We are never not worshiping, in fact. Our affections, our attention, our efforts, our energy, our emphasis is always drawn towards something or someone. The word worship comes from the word proskuneo. It means to give reverence or worth to something or someone. It literally means to give worthship, to give something worth. And God built into us, each and every one of us, this innate, inescapable desire to worship. His desire is that we would turn our worship towards Him. But many people in our world today have forgotten God, have focused their worship elsewhere. They're still worshiping, but they're not worshiping God. Instead, sometimes our worship is turned towards other things. Maybe for you, Maybe there's a little bit in you that kind of worships your work. Maybe that's what drives you. Maybe for you, it's your favorite rock band. Maybe for some of you, it's your favorite athlete, or it might even be maybe your favorite sports team. I mean, it could be. It's game day today, right? I apologize for that. First service, I just kind of tucked up my shirt, and they're like, no, you need to. I'm like, well, maybe we'll see. It could be a dream home. It could be a new car that you're putting everything about you and all your efforts into getting. It could be the latest iPhone. Does anybody have one of the new iPhones on order that just came out this week? No. I'm so proud of you. Good job. Sticking to your budget, that sort of thing. All right. Maybe it's a mountain bike. I mean, if I'm going to be honest with you, I always try to be honest with you. I have about a three-year-old Yeti SB95 model. It's got 29-inch wheels and hydraulic disc brakes, and it's full suspension, and it's pretty light. It's aluminum. It's not the carbon fiber model. I couldn't afford that one. And I bought it used, but it still cost twice as much as my first car. And, you know, I can climb hills and barrel down hills as well, and it's amazing. But did you know that Specialized now has a newer bike that's better and lighter? And I'm sure I could climb faster and fall harder. And my wife a few years ago got me a t-shirt that says, "I love my wife." But then in between it says, "I love when my wife lets me go mountain biking." That's what it says. I could go to a bike store and I could stand there for too long of a period of time looking at the different models and things and trying to decide what my checkbook would allow me to get. The point is this: we are all natural worshipers. It could be a sport, it could be a hobby, it could be stuff, it could be money. Everyone worships. It's just a matter of what and when. Now, as I talk about that, does that mean that we should feel guilty about owning nice things or enjoying nice things? Of course not. But we know there's a difference between owning and using things and things owning and using us, right? Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1 says this: "Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves. Do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I'm the Lord your God." That commandment, God gave that commandment because he knew that we had the capability of turning our affection and attention to things other than him. Worship is a God-given response that he's built into each and every one of us. We are worshipers. So how about singing? How does that fit in? How about the singing we do each and every week here at Northeast Christian? Why do we do it? It's an important question to ask because, again, we spend a large portion of our time together doing that. Now, we may not be motivated to sing at times. We might miss out on some of God's blessings for us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Three key truths that Scripture gives us about singing and worship. The first one is this: God invites us to sing. God invites us to sing. Have you ever wondered about how many verses in Scripture reference singing or talk about singing? Any idea? There are over 400 verses in the Bible that reference singing. Almost 50 of those are direct commands to sing. It's something we're instructed to do, something we're invited to do, because God alone is worthy of our praise. Psalm 96, 1 through 4 says this: "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods." I mean, you may notice in that passage, it doesn't say, try and sing. Sing if you feel like it. Sing if you've got a great voice and God would enjoy your singing and other people around you would enjoy your singing. No, it doesn't do that. It simply says, sing. It simply instructs us, commands us, invites us to sing. Singing expresses our thanks and gratitude to God. We give our worship to God. We express our thanks and gratitude to him. We do that. We sing to him first and foremost because he's worthy of it. God is worthy of our praise. Here's number two this morning. Second truth about singing. Singing helps us to focus and not forget. Helps us to focus our minds, our hearts, and to not forget. Now, forget what, you might ask? Psalm 103, verse 2 says this, "Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his benefits." This is an idea, in fact. David wrote this in the Psalms. I think he did so because he realized he was capable of forgetting things. Oftentimes, we forget things, and you've probably got, if you're a busy person, you probably have some tool or resource you use, whether it's a planner or a smartphone or email or whatever it may be. We are prone to forget things. Singing, David would tell us, is one way that can help us remember certain things about God. Remember his blessings. Here's an instance. David is actively reminding us, hey, remember God's blessings. Remember the good things that he does for you. Remember God's faithfulness. Time and time again, we see this in Scripture. Here's just a few examples. When the Israelites had come out of Egypt after 400 years of captivity, and they've crossed the Red Sea, the parted Red Sea, Moses is leading the way, they get to the other side, the very first thing they do is to sing praises to God, to give him thanks, to be grateful for his deliverance. In the New Testament, a quick example, Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas are in prison. They're in jail. And in the middle of the night, they decide to sing praises to God. Well, we know what happens as that night unfolds. I mean, in the middle of the night, they're singing praises. The Bible says the earth shook. Prison doors are opened. The prisoners' chains are loosed. It says Paul and Silas are actually able to lead the jailer to Christ. An incredible night from singing. Have you ever gotten a song stuck in your head? I mean, it could be, you could be anywhere. You could be driving down the road. You could be watching TV. You could be at work. You could be with your family or alone on a mountaintop. And all of a sudden, a song gets stuck in your head. And for whatever reason, it's just playing over and over and over again. Maybe it's the latest song on the radio that you've heard. Maybe for you country fans, it involves a long winding road and a lot of crying and a broken down pickup truck. And sorry. Little, not much, but a little bit. Maybe for you men in the room, it's, you know, a classic rock tune or something from your younger years. And maybe you don't remember where you first heard it. Maybe, you know, maybe it's a song that you love and are thrilled that it's there. On the flip side, we all know there's songs that kind of come along as well that are just stuck in our head that we wish we could forget. Again, parents, Disney movies, need I say more? But think about this. How do we oftentimes teach young children how to remember things? What do? We put music and melody to something that we want them to remember, don't we? So young kids, we teach them their ABCs by putting a song to it, you know? A couple times a year, Kids of the Kingdom will have a program in this very room. And as they're practicing for that, and as the night comes for their either graduation in the spring or their Christmas program in the wintertime, I am reminded of the songs that Kids of the Kingdom sings as a group so that their children learn things about who God is and learns things about, you know, honoring the parents and loving one another. We use song to help people remember certain things. Music is a powerful way to pull at our emotions and remain in our memory for a very long time. And because of this, music is a powerful and effective way to get God's word into our hearts, into our heads. C.J. Mahaney calls singing in church, this is what he calls it. He says it's take-home theology. Take-home theology. Because the best songs we sing together and sing together, they kind of serve as a brief, easy-to-memorize means of taking that home. I mean, we remember the biblical truths or biblical summaries that we may sing in a song. They kind of stick with us throughout the week. And so it's important that we remember this. We have a couple different filters here at the church. As Chris is kind of picking songs, one of the filters I'm well aware of because he shared that with me is he's picking songs that we would sing together that are true to God's word. Did you know there are songs out there that aren't really biblical? Did you know that? I mean, just in the past few weeks, I've been reminded, not here, but there are songs that people sing together as a church or as Christians that they're just not biblical. And so one of the things Chris does is to pick songs that are true to Scripture. That way you can be confident that when you come here to church, when you leave here, when things are stuck in your head throughout the week, whether you're at work or driving, that sort of thing, that it's true to Scripture. Number three, singing unifies us as a church. Singing unifies us, brings us together as a church. The Apostle Paul talks about this, Colossians chapter 3. He says this in verse 16, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another." Another idea for encourage. So as you teach and encourage one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I mean, the act of singing together in worship is something that the church has been doing for almost, you know, a few thousand years. A long time. This isn't just something that we started 30, 40, 50 years ago. The church has been singing together as a body for a long time to unify the church. Now, I love that here at Northeast, we have people that come here from all different walks of life, different generations, different professions, different personalities. The list goes on. And it's awesome that we have so many people that are coming together and uniting together in song as we sing together. We believe, as a church, as a leadership, we believe that singing these songs together, when we do that as a church, it unifies us in putting our focus on Jesus. I told you last Sunday that this whole series is about kind of pulling back the curtain, peeling back the layers of what we do as a church, because we want to explain that everything that we do is about putting our focus on Jesus. When we come together, we want you to be focused on Him and what He has done for you. Now, this type of unity is something encouraging, not only for those of us who have been a part of church for a long time, but people that are visiting as well. It helps us to shine a bright light when people come and they see, wow, this is a friendly place. They're singing praises to the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 1 says this, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He's done." We believe in this type of unity so much that it's not just limited to here on Sunday morning. Our children's ministry, they're singing songs together as they get together. Our youth ministry, on occasion, when it's appropriate, they sing a time of, or they have a time of worship as well to sing together. When we go to camp, different age groups are singing together. This isn't just limited to here. It's intended for every single generation. Now, that said, I want to tell you, has anybody ever had the opportunity to go to camp or a Christ in Youth conference, or a youth conference, children's conference, and just spend time hanging out with kids? Anybody? I have to say, I mean, it's nothing against you, okay? Maybe it is a little bit, but I love those opportunities because it's inspiring to me to be a part of worship when young people are involved. Because you know something about young people? They don't really care. They just kind of let it go. And they let it all out there. And when they're worshiping the Lord, it is a powerful thing to witness and be a part of. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't yet, be thinking about some future opportunity where you can get yourself around some young people. It might just help you stay young a little bit longer. It's great to see, though, that the heart of worship, a heart for God, a heart for worshiping Him, is alive and well in the next generation of our church. I mean, it's clear, along with songs and instruments, we use a lot of other things as well. We use, we've got screens with words on it. We have motion backgrounds and occasional video to inspire us. But you may have mixed feelings about this. I don't really, but I know where I'm at as well. Did you know some churches use lights, motion lights and lasers and fog? And I know we've not used that here. It's probably more of a matter of budget and progression than it is anything else. But I'd said that verbally. Sorry. But it's using creative arts. It's using other elements to kind of create an atmosphere that helps our emotions focus more on worshiping God. And just like music and instruments can help with that, those other things, I mean, even as much as dimming the lights can help us kind of stay focused and not worried about other things going on around us. Those can be helpful aids. I want to go off on a tangent here and just kind of make a disclaimer. If we truly believe that God is the creator, if we truly believe that He is the all-knowing designer and He the maker of all things, that He made us in His image, then is it too far to believe truly that we as a church ought to be leading the way in being creative with music and things that we do together? I mean, do you catch what I'm saying? So often we kind of are very reactionary. Oh, the world is doing this, and so we'll kind of, we'll Christianize that and bring it into the church. We ought to be leading the way. I mean, the world ought to look at the church and say, wow, that is amazing. Why aren't we doing that out in the world when it comes to creative arts and that sort of thing? Artistic expression, song, anything and everything ought to be on the table, as long as it's ethical, when it comes to honoring and bringing glory to God's name. I hope in the realm of music, I hope one day that our church is at a place where we can write and produce our own songs for our church, for other churches as well. You may know this, but last fall we recorded a Christmas CD. It was not original music. It was, you know, Christmas songs and well-known songs, but it was a great learning experience. We learned about the recording process and copyright and such and kind of how all of that comes together. But I think it was a step in the right direction. Our church has benefited from other churches being creative and sharing and generous with their resources. And I hope our church is at a place one day where we are on the leading edge and cutting edge and being creative and sharing things and resources with other churches for their times of worship as well. All the methods of inspiration we use are important. We all come, again, from different walks of life, and we're all wired differently. So all those things ought to be on the table, but don't miss this. The instruments, the lights, the screen, the, you know, whatever we may use doesn't really matter at all by itself. It all has to be utilized in a way that brings praise and worship and glory to the one who is worthy, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who created you and me, the one who put the stars in their place. So I want to encourage you to try in and join in when we sing together. If you're the type of person that comes and just observes and listens and that's it, I want to encourage you, join in. You may not know the song. Try and listen and catch the tune, catch the chorus, and join in singing the song together. Here's the point. The goal is for these songs and words that we sing to be an overflow of what's going on in our hearts. When we sing together, that's the goal, that it would be an overflow of what God is doing inside of us, in our hearts and minds. Now, here's the reality. When we walk in here on Sunday morning, when we walk in here to our worship services, for some of you, you may have had an incredible week. It may have been a great week at work, great week in the family, or you know, with your spouse. It may have just been an incredible week, and you know, you and God are clicking, and you're just on cloud nine, and you walk in, and you're excited, and you're ready to sing and praise the Lord, and man, this is awesome. And for you, you're ready to go. It didn't cost you anything. Praise is often something that does directly benefit us. You know, I hear a lot, well, you know, I just don't like that style. I like this. It's okay. Sometimes praise is directly beneficial to us. But did you know there's sometimes that praise and singing and worship, it's going to cost us something. Unfortunately, life happens. And there are some times when maybe you've not had a great week and you walk in the door and singing is the last thing on your mind. I mean, we know life can be difficult. And coming to church shouldn't be about putting on a fake smile and pretending that life holds no difficulties and that everything is great. If there's a place that we should be able to be honest and open and transparent and vulnerable, it should be our church worship services. I'd encourage you, read the Psalms sometime. I mean, all of the Psalms. I love how David doesn't just talk about the good times, but also talks very boldly and bluntly with God, raw honesty at times where he models not only what it means to celebrate in worship, but also to be honest with God when things are difficult. And so those of you parents in the room, maybe it was a struggle to get the kids up and ready this morning or another morning, and so you come to church and you're already wound up. Maybe for some of you, you know, maybe especially you men, somebody cut you off on the road getting here and, you know, worshiping the Lord, singing in song is the last thing on your mind, or at least not the first. Maybe for some of you, you have a spouse who wants a divorce. Maybe you have a rebellious child. Maybe God seems a little bit far away right now and you can't really see his goodness and circumstances scream that he's forgotten you. I understand with the good, there's also another side to things. And oftentimes, it's difficult to come to church and be ready to worship and sing. The last thing we feel like doing is singing. To praise God in those times It does require a personal sacrifice. But here's the truth. When we bring a sacrifice of praise, we choose to believe, even though life is not going as we think it should, God is still good and he can still be trusted. When we do that, we're saying, I believe God is good. He can still be trusted. Our faith is deepened. God is honored. Now, I recognize it might be easy for some of you to think, yeah, but maybe that's us. Those that sing on the stage and, you know, speak on the stage and that sort of thing, you guys, you must be super spiritual. No. Speaking for myself, I'll speak for everybody. No. There are times it's difficult. Now, I will tell you this. I listen to them rehearse on Thursdays, and I'm usually here on Sunday mornings when they're here. And I can tell you, they work hard. They do their very best to try and get their hearts and their minds in the right place, to step out on stage and to be in a place where they can lead from a place of authenticity. It's an honor and a privilege to do so. But everybody up here is still human too. We're still struggling with things as well. None of us is perfect. There are still challenges we face in life too. Earlier this year, a friend of ours in Missouri found out he had cancer, and it was going to take his life. And he sought medical care, and he's been a church member for a long time, an elder, and he had elders pray over him, and people praying, tons and tons of people were praying for him. And then just over a month ago, he was gone. And this is a mentor, a friend of mine. He was on a board of the mission work we were a part of in Mexico, a good friend of mine. And there are times it's like, God, I know you can intervene. God, I know you're capable of giving life to this situation. And why, God, why not? And there are times when even I come to church and, you know, other things on my mind and life is happening. And the last thing that is on my mind is to sing. I mean, can I just say that? Can I just be honest with you? But here's what I know. I know this. Sometimes our heart and emotions need to follow the obedience in our actions. Sometimes you need to lead your heart and emotions with obedience first. And so, yes, the weeks that I come to church and I haven't completely felt like it, when I have come in and opened my mouth to sing, which is usually on the front row so no one else can hear, when I've done that, and I sing truth in those songs, I'm amazed at how God seems to kind of push the other things away. The noise of life, the realities of situations around me, the stress from my week, challenges I may be facing, they just kind of do. They kind of go away for a little bit. My perspective is refreshed. I remember God's goodness. As we sing songs that, you know, you know the lyrics to, you remember that the joy of the Lord is my strength. He is a rock and a firm foundation. That he is faithful and compassionate and kind. Here's something I know about worship. True worship is what you do regardless of how you feel. True worship is what you do regardless of how you feel. And so here's the takeaway this week. I want to challenge you to move from being a spectator to a participant. To move from being a spectator to a participant. If you're the type of person that comes in and you're just kind of here, we invite you, I challenge you, to be a participant in our time of singing together, in our time of worshiping in song. I want to ask you to kind of stay where you're at, but our team is going to come back up on the stage here in just a moment, and we're going to spend a few more minutes singing praises to God in worship. It's going to be real simple. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to give you a mic or have you sing a special or a solo or anything like that, but I'm just going to ask you, if you're the type of person that just kind of quiet and sticks to yourself, just would you join in singing today? Don't just listen, but join in. Know this, above all else, God is looking for your honest heart. God is looking for honesty from you. Sometimes to get our hearts in the right place, the best thing that we can do is to open our mouth, to speak, to sing, to pray the truth about God and his word. When we do that, our hearts will follow. Let's pray together.